Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Nun Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins about halfway down the page, maybe a little bit more. You can count 22 lines down from the top with the Dibur HaMaschil, Noisei Sochar Eino Mishalim, a quote from the Mishnah at the bottom of Daf Nun Vov Omid Aleph. This is a reference to a baili who is paid if the item under his guard happens to be something that is, we'll say, of hegdish, amongst some other examples. If it's lost or stolen, he will be exempt, as opposed to the normal approach to a shomer sochar, where he is obligated to compensate. On the side of our Gemara, in the marked Shas Ozer, which is the cornerstone of Gemara markings, we have a topic heading in the margin we call the Nosei, and it reads, Stira Be'inyan Shomer Sochar. The Gemara will be dealing with a seeming contradiction in the topic of a pay baili, Im Chayav L'Shalim L'Hektish Al Geneva V'Aveda. Whether or not he is obligated to compensate the Beis Hamikdash fund in the event that something he was given to watch that is hegdish is either lost or stolen. So now we turn to the Gemara. The quote from the Mishnah that we read, Nosei Sochar Eino Mishalim, is the pay baili would not have to pay in the event of something of hegdish that he was watching was lost or stolen. The triangle that you see is also introduced on the side under the Mivneh heading, the structural note, where we indicate that the triangle here is a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a give-and-take structure. With the point facing up, they represent Kusho's questions. The inverted triangle, Tshuvos, answers. So now the Gemara. We open with a long question. Romi lei Rav Yosef bar Chamo l'rabo. Rav Yosef raises a contradiction for Rabbo to deal with. Tanan noisei sochar eino mishalim. This is what we just quoted from our Mishnah. The paid baili, in the event that an item of hegdish given to him to watch is lost or stolen, he, the shomer, does not pay. Viromini. And now we raise a contradiction. Hasocher es apoel. A worker is hired. He is hired by the treasurer, the gizbar of the Beis Hamikdash, and he will end up paying the workers from holy funds. What is the worker hired for? So we have three examples, and each example is a broad topic in and of itself, but we don't have to focus on the specific examples. We'll mention them just very briefly. Number one, a worker is hired lishmor es hapora, a reference to the red heifer. Someone is hired to make sure that the red heifer is not disqualified by either being used for some work purposes or through developing a blemish. So he's hired and paid for guarding the pora. Lishmor es hatinok, to make sure that the child that's used in the Pora Aduma water drawing process remains pure and undefiled. Number three, Lishmor es hazroyim. This has to do with watching grains that are growing in anticipation of bringing them as the Omer, the barley grain offering on the 16th of Nisan. Where Rashi gives more background to that which we're saying now, but the idea is that the worker is hired for guarding these different things. Ein Neusen Loi Schar Shabbos. If he's hired on a daily pay basis, the work, the guarding that he does on Shabbos, he will not get paid for that. Lefikoch Ein Achrayas Shabbos Lov. Therefore, if something happens on Shabbos, he is, this guard is not responsible. He doesn't have to compensate for any loss. However, there are different pay arrangements. Hoya Sochir Shabbos, Sochir Chodesh, Sochir Shona, Sochir Shavua. The examples include someone who's a Sochir Shabbos means he's hired for a week. He receives a weekly salary. A Sochir Chodesh, a monthly salary. Sochir Shona, an annual, yearly salary. Sochir Shavua, hired for units of 7 years. In a case like that, Noisim Lo Schar Shabbos, he gets paid for his efforts to guard on Shabbos as well. Since Shabbos is not isolated as a separate day, but it's part of a long-term work arrangement. Lefikoch Achrayas Shabbos Lo, therefore, if something happens on Shabbos, so he'll bear responsibility, because he is getting paid for that. My love, l'shalem. Is it not so that if something happens, this worker who's hired to guard, he's a shomer, he's a shomer sochar, he's a paid bailey, he will, yes, have to pay. Well, that's a contradiction to what we saw in our Mishnah. Notice we also have a dashed underline marking. Compare this with the dashed underline above where it said, eino m'shalem. The Gemara says, lo. The teaching here of Achrayas Shabbos Olov has to do not with his having to pay, but lehafsid schoro. He has to take a salary loss. Well, if the source then is dealing with salary loss or non-loss, reisha dekatani, the first part of the source, which said, ein achrayas Shabbos olav, the fellow who was hired on a daily basis, and something happened on Shabbos, you're telling me then that the loss of salary for Shabbos will not be the case. Hachi nami, we read with a tone of wonderment, hachi nami de la hafsit schoro, is the reisha, the first part of the source, also to be understood in terms of, we'll say, not losing pay? In the end of the source, it said, Achrayas Shabbos Lov, you're interpreting to mean he will lose pay. In the ratio, then, the early part of the source, you're then interpreting that to mean he will not lose pay, meaning he will get paid. Well, Umi Islay Schar Shabbos, does he get paid? V'okotoni, but it was taught, V'ein noisim lo schar Shabbos. To the opposite, to the contrary, he does not get paid for the Shabbos work that he does. Ishtik, so the he remains silent. Amale midi shmiya loch baha. Did you hear anything about that? Amale, so Rabba answers. Hachi Omar Rav Sheshes. I'll tell you what Rav Sheshes says about this source. Just a word of introduction. In general, a nosei sochar, a paid bailey, does not compensate hekdish if something went wrong under his guard. However, here it's different. He will have to compensate hekdish because b'shekanu miyado. V'cheinom Rav Yochanan b'shekanu miyado. Here this hired hand made a kinyan with the gizbar of the Beis HaMikdash. The kinyan is a gesture indicating that he, the shomer, binds himself and his property to the benefit of the Beis HaMikdash if something should go wrong, if there should be any loss. So because of this added feature, we'll say this added level or dimension of obligation and responsibility, therefore we can talk about the shomer being obligated to compensate. But that's unique to a case of konu miyado. In general, though, the ruling would follow what we saw in our Mishnah, that a paid Bailey, if something goes wrong, now if something is lost or stolen that belongs to Hegdish under his guard, he will not have to compensate. Rabbi Shimon Oimer. This also we saw in the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon says, Kochim Shechayav Bach Yuson Yesh Lohen Oino. V'she'ein Eino Chayav Bach Yuson Ein Lohen Oino. When it comes to the sale of things donated, dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash, if someone, let us say, dedicated, sanctified an animal as a sacrifice to the Beis HaMikdash, and he then sold it. If it's a type of dedication, Shechai Bachriuson, that he bears personal responsibility for its welfare, then if in selling it there's an overcharge, there's a mischarge, the din of onah will apply. Onah meaning the prohibition of overcharging. If it's a kind of kochim, a type of a sacrifice where the owner doesn't accept upon himself personal responsibility for its welfare, and if it dies or becomes blemished, he will not have to replace it. So then the sale of that kind of sacrifice would not entail the, we'll say, the restrictions represented by Onah, the 1/6 prohibition to charge a sixth more than the value. Toni Tano Kamed Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Abba. Before we go any further, we should glance in our margin. We have a Nosei topic heading which reads, Birur, the role of the Gemara is to clarify, Toichen Braisa, the contents of a Tanaic source that we're about to read, Be'inyan Chiluk Bein Kotshim Shechayah Bach Riyuson LeKotshim She'enu Chayah Bach Riyuson. A distinction made between those kind of sacrifices that you are chayav bach rison, that you bear personal responsibility for them, as opposed to those that are not. Now, before we go into the Gemara, there's a key verse that we should familiarize ourselves with on the side of the Gemara, Vayikra Perek Hey Posuk Chof Aleph. And the pasuk says, "Nefesh ki sechto mualo mal b'Hashem v'chichesh b'miso." The pasuk describes a person who sins and he lies, kichesh b'miso. He lies to his friend. And when you study the pasuk and the commentaries and the relevant gemaras, we know that it's talking about someone who swears that he doesn't have the following things listed in the pasuk. The pikadon, an entrusted article, but sumes yad, that he swears he owes no money, oh, but gozel or theft, oh, oshak es amiso, or he withheld wages from a worker, and it turns out he's lying because he swore falsely that he doesn't owe these things, and then turns out that he's lying, so he has to bring a special sacrifice, an osham gezelos, and he also has to pay the principal and a fifth. So now we have a someone who taught a Tanaic source to in the presence of Rav Yitzchok Bar Abba. We continue with the Gemara three lines from the bottom. Kochim Shechayav Bach Riyuson. We see the same breakdown as we saw in the Mishnah. Here, though, it's referring to the issue of the false oath and denial of owing something. So those Kochim that you're Chayav Bach Riyuson, Chayav, that kind of sacrifice will generate the Shavua, and I should say that upon swearing falsely, it will mechayav him to pay, to bring a sacrifice and to pay Karen V'chomesh. Shani Kore Bohen, when you're dealing with Kochim that you're Chayav Bachrisan, we refer to them the Posuk Bashem V'kichesh. Those words are taken from the Posuk, as you can see, that we just read. Those kind of sacrifices that you don't bear personal responsibility for, you would be exempt. Shani Kore Bohen Bamiso Vekichesh. There, I would refer to them as a denial to your friend. Now, this source, in and of itself, is a bit vague. It's, I would say, it's lacking a certain level of clarity on its own. the Gemara itself raises the question. Amar Lei, Rav Yitzchok, who heard this source stated, he says, Klape Laya, where are you going? We continue at the top of Amud Beis. Ipcha Mestabra, the opposite is more likely. We take a look at the Rashi at the top. Rashi explains what the seeming problem with this source is. The source mentioned that where there's a Chiyuv Achrayas, so then the denial under oath, where someone, let us say, stole an animal that the owner will have to make good on, and the thief swears that he doesn't have it, that he never stole it, and it turns out that he's lying. So then that generates the need for the sacrifice that we alluded to before. And in the source it says, because we refer to this, Bashem V'kichesh. Of course, those words are taken from the Pasuk. What seems to be the problem with this approach? So Rashi, at the top of Amud Beis, says, Ibcha Mistabra, Kol HaDvorim Nirim Hefech. Everything that we learned appears to be the opposite. The She'eno Chayav Bachrison, those kind of sacrifices that the original owner doesn't have to make good on if something happens to them, Dashem Ninu Tvei, they're more, we'll say, godly. They're more out of his realm. Mishechayav Bachrison, more so than those sacrifices that the owner retains responsibility for. Vimboso Lechaivo Bishel Gavoa Ulefotro Bishel Hedyo. If your intention is to say that those that are more, we'll say, heavenly in nature cause culpability on the part of one of these offenders that were alluded to in the Pasuk, one of the cases of offense alluded to Pasuk, we were using the example of theft as a simple example. So if you want to say that there's a chiyuv when Shel Gavoa, when something that's of a heavenly nature is stolen, followed by the false oath, Ulefotro Bashel Hedyonan, to exempt him in the case of something that's more mundane, something that's more owner related, Kain Hoyo Loymar, the source should have said, Kotshim Shechayev Bachriyusan, those are the type of sacrifices that the owner has to make good on. We call them, well, Hedyot. Commoner related. Potter, those are exempt. Shani Kore Bohen, Ba Miso V'kichesh. So now when you look at the original source, you saw Kotshim Shechayev Bachriuson Chayov, but associated with the Pasuk that says Bashem V'kichesh. But if your point is to tell me that something that's Gavoa related generates the Chiyuv, and something that's common related generates the exemption, I should just go back to the second line from the top in the Rashi momentarily, where Rashi said, V'imboso l'chaivo b'shel Gavoa. Where is that idea taken from? From the original source, second line from the bottom of Omid Aleph, the Pasuk was cited at the beginning of the line, Bashem V'kichesh. That would be indicative of something Gavoa, and the source was speaking about Chayav right up to that point, so that the spirit of the source would seem to have been that which is heavenly related, that's less connected to the mundane, is chayav. And in contrast, that which is personal related, the end of the source at the bottom of Omen Aleph said, Bamiso v'kichesh, and at that point, the source was speaking about an exemption. So that the point of the source was to tell me, if the point of the source was to tell me that Bishel Hedyo, there's an exemption, then the source should have said, Rashi continues on the third line from the top, Kein hoyo lo lomar, then the source should have read as follows. Kotshim shechayav bachriyusan, that's what we refer to as mundane based, where the owner is still bearing responsibility, potter, and you wanted to tell me that there is exemption for that, shani kore bohen ba miso v'kichesh. Now, when you look at the original source, what did it say? It said, at that point in the original source where we have our bays marking, it didn't speak about kotshim shechayav barachrizon. It said, she'eno chayav barachrizon. But the expression b'miso v'kichesh, and that would be the basis of exemption, would have been much more appropriate to be associated with kotshim shechayav barachrizon. And likewise, we continue in the Rashi, she'eno chayav barachrizon chayav, those kind of kotshim where the owner doesn't bear responsibility, if, as the original source concluded in the Reisha, by citing Bashem V'kichesh and speaking in terms of obligation, so you're really describing those kind of sacrifices that are eino chayav b'achriyuson chayav, shani kori b'hen Bashem V'kichesh. That's considered a denial of that which is heavenly, Hashem-related. But it doesn't say all of that in the source. The oid, and furthermore, my problem is, the hedyot have le lichive tvei. On a logical level, there should have been more responsibility, more guilt, we'll say, if you lie concerning something that is in fact hedyot related. Deha shomri hegdeshos pturin min hashvua. Umikol habo al yoda. For those that are guards of something that's hektish, that's purely heavenly related, we know there's an exemption from oaths and any guilt that results therefrom. So that if you want to talk in terms of a shvua that leads to culpability, you would have to speak in terms of something that's hedyo related. And that is in the form of kotshim that one is chayov ba'achrayas. So that kotshim that one is chayev b'achrayas should be chayev, but the appropriate pasuk for that would have been b'misa v'kichesh. So we have to go back to the drawing board. Omar le, so we continue in the Gemara at the top line on Omid Beis, the Tana who had presented the source to Rabbi Yitzchok bar Abba says, Yismei, should I erase the source? You've just demonstrated by what we just saw in the Rashi that it's the source in its original form doesn't hold together, doesn't make sense. So Omar Le, Rabbi Yitzchok responds, lo, don't erase the source. Rather, hachi ka'omar. The source is really telling you as follows. Kotshim, shechayev machriuson chayov. Kotshim, that one where the original owner bears responsibility for, has to make good on it if something happens, and someone then steals it and swears falsely, that generates a chiyuv, an obligation upon the one who lied. The israbu mi bashem v'kichesh v'she'enu chayev b'achriyuson, those kind of sacrifices that you're not obligated as an original owner to make good on, potter, the one who swears falsely concerning those, would be exempt. De'im it mi b'amiso v'kichesh. Now, in my feeling is that this rereading, in and of itself, is just as vague as the original source, if you will. Without Rashi, it's hard to understand what we have improved. But with Rashi, hopefully it'll all make sense. So we, without any further delay, we go to the Rashi, a couple lines down from here, actually right across from here in the Rashi, Hachi ka'amar v'chulei. Hai shani kuri behen v'ashem v'kichesh. When we read in the original source, kotshim shechayev b'achrizon is chayev because of this, I refer to it b'ashem v'kichesh, it loy mashma does not imply Bashem v'kichesh v'lo b'amiso Not coming to tell me because those are considered heavenly related and not person related, and that there is obligation, or I should say there is chiyuv, there's a violation because they are holy, they are heavenly. Allah, that's rather what is the source trying to tell me at that point? Hachikomar. Kotshim Shechayev Bachriyusan, those kind of sacrifices that the original owner bears personal responsibility for. Chayev Korban Shvua, in the event that there's a false oath concerning them and a subsequent confession, that will generate the Korban that we've spoken about, the Korban for swearing falsely. Lefi Shehein Shel Amiso, because they are in fact person related. The original owner continues to bear responsibility for it. Ve'im Bosa Lefotro Lefi Shehein Shel Hekdish, and if you think that you should exempt the one who swore falsely concerning those, the Kotshim Shechai Berach Yusan, because they're holy, because they've been sanctified or dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash, Lahachi also Bashem Vekichesh. The posuk that said Bashem Vekichesh Lirabuinu, to come to include them in obligation, in culpability, Af im yesh ben tzadgavua, even though there's an aspect of them that is heavenly related. Namely, they were sanctified to be sacrifices. So that the expression Bashem Vekichesh comes to tell me that even though there's a Hashem element to them, there's a holy element to them, but nevertheless, Vekichesh, if you swear falsely concerning them, since the original owner bears responsibility for them, it's considered still within the realm of the mundane, the common, and maybe we didn't emphasize this earlier, but oaths, false oaths concerning denial of owing fellow man money will generate the korban shvua, the need to bring the special sacrifice for one who lied under oath, and of course to pay the principal and a fifth. Rashi continues, v'she'ein chayav machriusan poter, the original source had said that those kind of sacrifices the original owner doesn't bear responsibility for, he didn't accept achrayas on them in the event that something happens. And if they are stolen and there's a false oath accompanying them, there will be an exemption. Lefi shani kore bohen lima'aton b'amiso v'kichesh. Because referring to them, I exclude them from b'amiso v'kichesh. You don't have a denial toward your friend, because the friend, the original owner, didn't bear any responsibility for them in the outset. V'hocho leko amiso, you don't have the element of fellow man. V'im it mi b'amiso v'kichesh, and those kind of kochim that you're not chayav b'achrayas for are excluded from being part of amiso v'kichesh. Amiso means your fellow man that you deny toward him. We turn back to the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Hamocher Sefer Torah Margulis Ubehema Ein Lohem Ono. We saw this in our Mishnah, that there are additional items that when sold at a, let's say, mischarge rate, you overpaid for them, there is yet nevertheless no Ono'a violation. And Rabbi Yehuda says that includes a Sefer Torah, a Margulis is a, translated often as a pearl or a precious stone, and a behemoth, an animal. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af HaMocher, Sefer Torah, Ein Lo Oino. One who sells a Sefer Torah and charges whatever he charges, there isn't an Ono violation if the price is more than if there's a sixth overcharge, a sixth higher than the market price for it, does not involve a violation of Oino. Lefisha Ein Ketz Ledomeo. There's no end to the value of a Sefer Torah. Behema umargulis ein lamayna. When it comes to the sale of an animal or a gem or a pearl, there's no ona. Mei she adam roitze lezavgon. The person who's buying it needs that specific animal to pair up with another animal that he has. Two animals that are used to are attached to a plow, and they are of unequal strength. That causes a ruination, injury to the healthy animal. Likewise, someone who's seeking a margalis, a pearl, to complete, we'll say, some type of ornament, some jewelry, where he sets the pearl into a setting, and he finally found a pearl that matches the ones he already has. He's more than willing to pay more than the market rate for that, because for him, it's just what he needs, and to the exclusion of all most other pearls that won't fit his desires, won't accommodate his needs. So with regard to behemoth and margalis, since the buyer is very happy to have found exactly what he needs, the din of oino doesn't apply to them. That's what the expression in the Brisa, where Meisha Adam Roitze Lezavlani, needs them to pair up with. In the case of the animal, two animals of equal strength. In the case of the jewelry, another pearl to pair up with those that he already has. Omru Lo, so the rabbis who disagree with Rebuta said, Falo Hakol Adam Roitze Lezavgon, with regard to all kinds of things, a person wants a particular item to pair up with what he already has. Why did you specify only these? Rebuta's response to that, Hani Chashivi Lei, Vahani Lo Chashivi Lei. The items that he mentioned, besides the Sefer Torah, the behemoth and the margalis, those are of particular importance to him, more so than other items. And therefore, even though it's true that people want all kinds of items, he has, let's say, a set of cutlery, and there was a missing spoon, and he finally found a similar spoon to his original set. It's true that he wants it to pair up, but it's not the same level of chavivus, of endearment, that you find by an animal and the jewel. V'ad kama, we say that there's no problem of oino, so that if you pay a sixth more than their actual value, there's no violation. How much above that do we say there's no violation? Ad kidei demehem. You can, until their actual value. In other words, up till the point that you're paying twice their rate, it's okay. But once you're asked to pay twice their value, that would constitute a violation of overcharging. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira Omer, Af hamoicher sus v'sayef v'hatitum b'milchama. Rabbi Yehuda adds, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, not to be confused with the Rabbi Yehuda that we had before. Stam Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbeloi. But here, this is a different Rabbi Yehuda. He adds, so too in the sale of a sus, a horse, sayef, a sword, hatitum, a shield, in the middle of a war. There's no problem of overcharging. It's a person who's battling and he needs a shield. He needs a shield to preserve his life as a means of protecting himself, or the sword in order to ward off those that are threatening him. Now we have arrived at a new Mishnah, and on the side we have a topic heading, the Nosei, that we refer to, that we indicate last till Nun Tes Omid Beis. And the topic is Oinoas Dvorim. So this is causing pain to someone, not through financial misconduct, but through words, through what you say. There's an Isser Oino, there's an Isser to subject someone to pain and insult through speech. I don't want to say through mere speech, because that would seem to lower the level of severity of speech, when in fact speech is a very dangerous tool when misused. So our sugya features this concept of oinuas dvorim, and as we said, we'll continue to daf nun tes on the base. The Mishnah. Kishem she'oino b'mekach u'menkar. Just like there is a prohibition of, we'll say, causing pain to someone by mischarging in the course of commercial transactions, kach oino b'dvorim. So too, there is a prohibition of causing pain to someone through words. Lo yomar lo b'kama chifet zeh. One should not go into a commercial establishment and ask, how much does this item cost? But you have no intention of buying it. By asking a vendor, how much does it cost, you are leading him into thinking that you are interested in buying it. So don't ask him how much it costs when you don't have any such intention. Im hoya baal tshuva, if a person had been a sinner and repented, lo yomar lo, don't say to the penitent individual, zechor ma'asecha rishonim, remember your old ways. Imhu ben gerim, if he is the descendant of converts, lo yomar lo, don't say to him, zechor ma'asecha, remember the ways of your idolatrous predecessors. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "V'ger lo sonu v'lo sechetzenu." The ger, the convert, is one that you shall not oppress nor pressure him. Tonu rabbanan. And now we have a long Tanaic source that elaborates on a number of the examples that we saw in the Mishnah. Lo sonu ish es amiso. That is a pasuk in Vayikra Perichov Hei pasuk Yud Zayin. And it says, do not oppress your fellow man. Be'oinas dvorim hakosuv medaber. The posuk is referring to oppression through speech. At oimer be'oinas dvorim u'eino elo be'oinas mamon. You're saying that that posuk refers to speech. Maybe it refers to wronging him through money matters, through mischarging. Keshu omer, when the posuk says, also in Perek, chof heya of Vayikra posuk, Yud Dalid, just before we cited Pasuk Yud Zayin. Now we're citing Pasuk Yud Dalid. And it goes on to say in that Pasuk we've included between the lines, Al Tainu Ishes Amiso, Hare Oinoas Mamon Amor. That Pasuk is dealing with commercial transactions. Oinoas Mamon, and at the end of the Pasuk, that which we wrote in between the lines where it said, Al Tainu Ishes Ochiv Yoshanat. Cause him pain, that's pain through mischarging. And so ha mo ani mekayem, so then what am I to do with Pasuk Yud Zayin, where it said, Lo sonu ishes amiso, don't cause your fellow man oppression. Be'oinos dvorim, that's through speech. Ha ketzad, how do we illustrate that? And the triangles that you see are featured on the side under our mivner, our structural note, where we've written, these are dugmoy shel oinoas dvorim, examples of oinoas dvorim. And I think it's accurate to say that these examples, the first three of these examples, we already have seen in the Mishnah. Im hoya baal tshuva, if a person was penitent, al yomar lo, don't say to him, zechor ma'asecha rishonim, remember your early ways, your wrongful ways. Im hoya ben gerim, if he is the descendant of converts, al yomar lo, don't say to him, zechor ma'asav osecha, remember your forebearers' ways. Im hoya ger, this is a specific example we did not see before, but if you're confronting a person who himself is a convert, ubalu moitera, and he is coming to study Torah out of interest in conversion, al yomar lo, you don't say to him, pesha ochal nevelo sutrefus shkotsu ramosen bo lilmoy toira shenemro mipi hagvura, the mouth that consumed all types of forbidden foods, nevelos and trefos, animal carcasses, sickly animals that are constituted trefa, shkutz and rosam are different types of creeping creatures, creepy crawler creatures that are forbidden to Jews. Someone who is coming to convert, who have consumed those things, you intend to come to learn Torah that was given to us through the mouth of the Holy One, blessed be He? Im hoyu yisurin boyin olof. Im hoyu chaloyin boyin olof. If you see a person who is beset through troubles, through pains and sicknesses, Oshoya Makabir Zbonov, or he was, heaven forbid, burying his children, Al Yomar Lo Kederach Shomru Lo Chaverov Liov, do not address such a beset individual, such a pained individual, the same way Eov's friends addressed him. Well, what did Eov's friends say to Eov? Eov, it was the paradigm of suffering. And in the book of Eov, his friends set him in the midst of his oppression, in the midst of his suffering, Halo Yiroscha, Kislosecha, Tikvoscha, Vatoim Drochecha, Zechorno, Mihu Noki Ovad. You are a man of God fearingness, and that is your source of security and strength. However, remember, they said to the beset Eov, remember, is a man who is innocent ever subjected to catastrophe? In other words, if you are suffering catastrophe, it must be that you are a guilty individual, that you have some accounting to make heavenwards. So, wants to repeat our point, if you see a person who is beset by troubles, that's not the time to say to him, oh, you see you have troubles, they're coming because of your sins. Im hoyu chamorim mevakshim tvua mimenu. Lo yomar lahem, if chamorim are literally their donkey drivers, we can explain in the context of more their merchants seeking goods, foods, grains to buy here and sell elsewhere. So if chamorim come and request of you grains, lo yomar lahem, don't tell them the following: lechu etzel ploni shehu mocher tvua. Go to so and so; he sells grains. V'yodeh bo shelo mochar meyolam, and you know very well that he never sold grains. Rav Yudomer af lo yitla einov al hamekach b'shal she'ein lo domim. Rav Yudah adds that one should not say I an item, creating the impression that he's interested in buying it when he has no means of, in fact, buying it. Sharei hadavor mosur lelev. This kind of behavior is something that only the individual himself knows about. Literally, it's something that is in his heart. Those matters that are internal, that only you, the individual, know of. The pasuk says, you should have fear of the Almighty. What's the point? So let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi, you'll see about a quarter of the way up from the end of the Rashi commentary. Sharei dover hamosu lelev lufikoch. Ne'emar bo v'yores melekecha. Hi, Sheharei. And in our Gemara text, we said a person who was eyeing an item at a time that he has no money. Sheharei hadover mosulev. That word Sheharei, litain tam, is here to explain lomo ne'emar bo yira nokat lei. Why, regarding things like this, does the posuk make reference to fear of God? V'hochi komar, and thusly is the intent of the source. Sharei kol hadvarim halalu, all of the above mentioned, ein toivoson v'roson mesura lahakir elo liliboy shel oise. Hu yodea, the examples that we saw, in some of the examples we saw in the source, are known only to the individual himself, whether he had positive intentions or negative intentions. So Rashi says it's only he himself that's lelibo shel oisehu yodea im laekel im latalkalois. This is a borrowed expression from Sanhedrin Daf Chof Vav, but for our purposes, without the actual translation, it means whether you know whether you have pure intention or you have crooked intention. V'yochol hu lomar, and if confronted, you could say lo asisi kim l'tova, hoisi sovur sheyesh l'chotvo limkor, o hoisi chafetz l'knos mekach zeh. In the examples we saw, the person could claim that I thought you had grains for sale, or I really wanted to buy that item, when if that was honest, so fine. And if not, so the source reminds us you should be God-fearing and know that the Almighty knows what you were thinking. The Almighty knows what your intentions are. So at the outset, do not behave in a crooked, wayward fashion. On the side of the Gemara, in the under the Nosei, the topic heading, we have listed Gimel Sibois, three reasons, Legodol Einas Dvorim Einas Momon, why it's considered a greater offense to be guilty of causing pain through words than pain through mischarging. Under the Mivna, under the structural note, the house shape that you see are Memros Amiuchados Linyan Einas Dvorim. These represent comments made in the Gemara that have a connection to the topic of oinoas dvara, pain caused through words. If you scan ahead in the Mark Gemara, you will notice that this house marking continues a significant way down Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph. So we'll see a couple of these as we finish this Amud and get up to the beginning of the next Amud, but the entire list of examples will, Mirtz Hashem, be continued in the following shir. So we continue now. Omar of Yochanan, Mishum, Rabbi Shimon, Ben Yochoi, Godol Oinoas Dvorim, Oinoas Momon. Greater is the offense of Oinoas Dvorim than Oinoas Momon. Sheze ne'emar bo v'yoresim elokecho, v'ze lo ne'emar bo v'yoresim elokecho. Regarding Oinoas Dvorim, the Pasuk made allusion to be God-fearing. Realize that the Almighty is scrutinizing your ways. And with regard to Onas Momon, we don't find a reference to the we'll say that added dimension of being God-fearing. Rabbi Elazar Oimer, Ze begufoi v'ze b'mamoinoi. Oinoas dvorim is something that you bodily violate, whereas overcharging someone, that's not something that you bodily violate, but it's a commercial violation through your money. Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Omar, ze nitan li shavon, ze lo nitan li shavon. Oinoas momon is something that can be returned. If you mischarged, you received too much money from an unsuspecting customer, you can return it to him. Whereas when you cause him pain, emotional pain, once the pain is caused, it's caused, and it's something that is practically impossible to undo. Toni Tano Kameid Rav Nachbar Yitzchok Kol Amalbin Pnei Chaveru Berabim Ki Ilu Sheifech Domim. The Tano stated in the presence of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, the Tano is someone who is expert in Tanaic literature, and he cited this teaching that one who causes one's face to whiten out of shame is tantamount to murder, spilling his blood. Omar Lei, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok confirms this. Shapir Kwamris, you are saying, well, the Chazino Lei, the Ozil Sumka V'Osi Chivra, we notice a person that is subjected to shame and embarrassment that is regular ruddy complexion, Simcha's redness, we'll call it his natural complexion, disappears, and in its place comes whiteness. And so it's the disappearance of the red is like the flow of the blood leaving him, leaving the individual, the shamed individual, white. Omar le Abaye le Rav Dimi. Abaye asks, "Bimarova b'mai zihri in Eretz Yisrael, what are they specifically careful about?" Omar le ba'achvri api. They are very careful and diligent in avoiding causing, literally, whitening of faces, meaning causing shame to fellow man. The Omar Rebbe Chanina. Rabbi Chanina teaches, we have a bracketed phrase here because what's in the brackets is not accurate. After the brackets is what he really said. But that having been said, let's go over the phrase straight through with the brackets. The Yom Rabbi Chanina, Hakol Yordin Legehenim Chutz Mishlosha. Everyone goes to purgatory with the exception of three. The Gemara asks, "Hakol Saka Daitach?" Everyone goes to purgatory. Is that really so? Elo Eimor, rather, to say in a more accurate fashion, Kol Hayordim LeGehenem Oilim, all those that do descend into purgatory, eventually rise from there. Chutz Mishloshes Yordim Vein Oilim, with the exception of three that descend and do not arise from there. V'eluhein ha'boal eishes ish, one who has intimacy with a married woman, v'hamalbin p'nei chaveru b'rabim, and one who shames someone in public, and number three, v'hamechane shem ra l'chaveru, and one who calls someone an offhanded or insulting nickname. The Gemara asks, how is three any different than two? Mechane hainu malbim, calling someone an insulting name is the same as causing him shame. Why are they listed as separate points? The Gemara answers, afal gav de dosh be bishmei. Even if the individual that is termed with this negative name has become used to it, so that when he hears himself being called this insulting name, he doesn't in fact turn white. Nevertheless, as Rashi explains, the one who called him that had insulting intentions, and for that alone, he is destined to a descent into purgatory and no exit from there. Omar Rabo Barachana Omar of Yochanan. We continue at the top of Daf Nun Tes Omer Aleph. We also have a new marking. It's on the side of the Gemara. Take note of the topic heading. Tsiaru es David HaMelech Bidvarim. We have a section of Gemara that makes reference to the enemies of King David causing him pain through their words. And the double underline that you see highlights the expression Noyach lo l'adam, it would be better for a person, etc. And whatever we'll see, it will be better for a person to be exposed to stumble over certain things. That will be mentioned tomorrow. The next phrase you see dashed underline, the al yalbin p'nei chaveru barabim. So that through the marking structure, you'll see a couple of teachings of this having this balanced nature. Let's see now in the Gemara itself. Noyach lo l'odom shiavo al sofek eishes ish. It would be better for a person if he has to, so to speak, make a choice of what to violate. It would be better for him to violate intimacy with a woman who is possibly married. Ve'al yalbin p'nei chaveru b'rabim, and not be guilty of embarrassing his friend, his fellow man, in public. Minole, where do we see this? Now, we're not going to spend time in our Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shir, regarding this issue of Sofek Eishes Ish. What exactly are we talking about? What is the reference to in the context of David HaMelech? There is, though, a highly recommended explanation or analysis of this issue in the Tosfos, starting at the top of the page, Noach lo li'adam. So those who want to pursue this matter should look into the Tosfos commentary. But let's go on in the Gemara. From where do we know this idea that if you have to balance two offenses, it would be better for a person to be guilty of having intimacy with a woman who may be married and avoid subjecting someone to embarrassment, to public shame? Where do we know this from? We continue in the Gemara, second line from the top. Mi de Dorash Rava, from Rava's teaching. De Dorash Rava. Mai dichtiv uvetzali samchu v'nesafu karu v'lo domu. Rashi on the third line from the top. Ki de Dorash Rava. The toiva maisi shel davru basheva mishelahem. Better is the incident that David HaMelech, we'll say, fell into, if you will, or stumbled upon with regard to Bathsheba, than those that insulted him. Now, we continue in the Gemara. Omar David Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Referring to the pasuk that we just read, the background is David addressed the Almighty, Ribbono Shel Olam, Almighty God, Galui V'Yadua Lefanecha, it is known to you, Shem Hayu Mekarin Besori, if my flesh were torn open, Lohaya Domi Shoisis Loretz, there would be no blood dripping down groundwards. V'lo od, and not only that, Elafilu b'shol she'oskim b'negoyim v'oilus, when they, the scoffers, the detractors, are engaged in deep Torah study, pursuing difficult topics, the topics of negoyim, of skin and skin discoloration, which also includes clothing and houses, the realm of Negoyim, the realm of Tzaras, and Oilus, the topic that deals with structures in the context of Tumah. Omrim Li, they would address me in the midst of their in-depth study, David, Haboal Eishes Ish, Misasa Bema, one who has intimacy with a married woman, trying to allude to David HaMelech's intimate association with Bas Sheva. What is the death penalty due to a person like that? Vani Omer Lohem, and I would respond to them, Misoso Bechenek, V'yesh L'chelik L'olam Habo, the person who violates relations with a married woman is punishable by court execution through strangulation, but after he pays that price, so to speak, he has a portion in the world to come. Aval hamalbin es penei chaveru barabim, ein lo chelek li'olam haba. But one who insults his friend in public, one who shames his friend in public, has no portion in the world to come. Omar Marzutra Bartuvio Marav. V'Amri Law, another version by way of names, Omar Rav Huna or Rav Chona Bar Bizna, Omar Rav Shimon Chasida. V'Amri Law is still a third version of names, Omar Rav Yochanan Mishum, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochoi. Noyach lo li'odom shiyapil atzmo likivshon eish, v'al yalbin penei chaveru barabim. It would be better for an individual to cast himself into a fiery furnace rather than subject his friend to shame in public. Min olon. From where do we learn this idea? Mi Tamar, from the biblical episode of Tamar and an act of intimacy with her father-in-law Yehuda, as is taught in Bereishis Perek Lamed Ches. Dichtiv, it says in that section when it was reported to Yehuda that his daughter-in-law had had intimacy, and within the context of the, we'll call it the report in the Torah, Yehuda felt that she was subject to a death penalty, and he himself was the, we'll call it the guilty party. And in that episode, she did not reveal that he was the one with whom she had intimacy. And in the meantime, based on his verdict, she was being taken away to be cast into a fire, into a as her death penalty. And it says there, he mutseis v'hi sholcha el chamia. Even though she was being taken away to be burnt, she did not say in a straightforward fashion, you are the guilty party. It is with you whom I had the intimacy. All she did was she sent signs, items that he had given her in the interim, and said that the owner of these is the one with whom I had intimacy. Not saying him, which would have led to shame on his part in public. So we see that she was willing to spare him of his shame and be cast into a fiery furnace. So from this, the famous principle is derived that Noach lo liodam shi'apil atzmo l'kiv shenayish v'al yalbin p'nei chaveiro b'ravim. Of course, in the context of our shiur today, we didn't get into the details of the biblical account of the Maisa Yehuda and Tamar, that particular incident. By all means, look into the Chumash, study the Psukim, and study commentaries for more information. But for our purposes, the lesson learned from that incident is what we just discussed. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.